Did you discuss the issue of tamoxifen versus AI in her, or you just said, hey, I think you should take
Arimidex? Not with this patient. We presented just the Arimidex to her as the option. We really felt like that was the better option for her. Perhaps if it was a patient, as we spoke of earlier, who was estrogen receptor positive, progesterone receptor positive, perhaps we would have presented both sides of the coin to her.
Although, you know, it's interesting, just at the recent San Antonio Breast Cancer Symposium in December 2005, they had a report from another major AI study. This one looked at letrozole, and they didn't see that ER-positive, PR-negative thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe it's not real. Or, you know, a lot of people say, too, that even if the effect, anti-tumor effect of the two were the same, that the side effects and toxicity advantage might favor the AI anyhow. Mm-hmm. Is that your take?
I do feel that way. You know, if it were myself and I had to choose which one, I would choose an AI over tamoxifen based on the side effect profile.
So that was the endocrine therapy that you were going to recommend to this woman. When you sat down with her, what did you tell her about the anastrozole?
When we first began to talk, we talked about where we would be targeting, you know, chemotherapy versus endocrine versus an immunotherapy. When we completed the chemotherapy portion, we sat down and said, okay, now we're heading into our next target. And I sort of explained to her about the role that estrogen plays in the development of her tumor and the growth of her tumor.
Was she interested in that?
She was. I often present it to them as it's a fuel. Hmm. You know, this is the word I use for even when I talk about prostate cancer and testosterone. I say estrogen is the fuel that made your breast cancer grow, and we need to block estrogen from getting to perhaps any residual cells that could be left behind. I stress that we've done everything we could to treat everything, and we're continuing to do that, but there's always a chance that there are some cells that are left behind that could become active. I explain to them that I want to block the fuel to give these cells, you know, the opportunity to grow. And that usually they can kind of visualize what that means. You know, patients often like to think in their head, you know, what's going on in my body. So they can sort of visualize the estrogen fueling their cancer. I give them a basic explanation of how AIs work and or tamoxifen or whatever drug we may be administering so they can understand how we're blocking the fuel. I also like to explain to postmenopausal women that they still have levels of estrogen. I think oftentimes postmenopausal women are under the impression that they don't have any estrogen. They're not menstruating, their ovaries aren't functioning the same as when they were younger. So I give them a basic explanation that they do have estrogen levels and where it comes from and how the AIs help to block that from getting to any potential tumor cells.
Did you bring up any things to look out for, or any side effects, complications?
Yeah, I explain the most common side effects first with the AIs. I talk about the myalgias and arthralgias and what we can do to combat them and at what point she really needs to come to me to discuss them if it's becoming a problem. You know, I explained to her that it's a 5-year treatment, at least at this time, you know. Also explain that it's an evolving study and we're learning more and more how long to continue hormonal therapy for, but at this time, we're looking at 5 years of treatment. Explain to her that hot flashes are a common side effect associated with it, and then we go on to talk about the effect on the bone density and how I'd like to start with a baseline bone density and follow her annually.
And after you sort of went through that whole thing, you know, sort of how did she feel about it, taking the anastrozole?
She was open to the anastrozole because it was a pill. And, you know, once you explain that, as you know, the chemotherapy side effects are going to wear off. And, you know, at this point, she's still feeling kind of crummy from the chemotherapy. So once you explain that those side effects are going to wear off, she's going to start feeling like herself. And really, the anastrozole is just going to become part of one of her other pills that she's taking on a daily basis. And that it has great benefit in preventing this from ever coming back.
Were there any financial considerations here in terms of the cost between the anastrozole compared to tamoxifen?
This patient had insurance coverage, so it wasn't a consideration. She paid a nominal copayment, but it has come up in the past. In fact, it often comes up now if we have a patient on tamoxifen, say 2 to 3 years, and we're choosing to switch her to an AI based on the more recent data. And what I'll find is that they will, you know, go to the pharmacy to fill their prescription for an AI, and they may or may not have the same coverage that they did for tamoxifen. And they verbalize more or less the differences in the price.